thank you for being here this morning. I was just sitting there a few minutes ago thinking it's good to see Denton able to be back up here and Lee back in services and some of the rest of you that have been sick. And it's good to see Elizabeth with, after her surgery. I asked her if she could see better and she said yes, that may be good, and the way some of us look that may not be so good. But it's good to have each of you. We have several out today. I know where some of them are and some I don't. But as we miss those that are normally here and you have opportunity, let them know that we miss them. And if we get everybody here at the same time and begin to pick up some, it's going to make a big difference. This last week has been a rather difficult week, time-consuming week. Conducted a funeral, went to another, conducted a gospel meeting, preached 10 sermons in it, and been on the road. I've spent about as much time behind the wheel as I have in bed this past week, but that's a part of it, and that's been my life and the way I want it to be. This morning, let me ask you a question as we begin. What do you think is the most often used and quoted prayer? I suspect there would be a tendency to say, well, that's probably the prayer that starts, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." But I think there's another prayer that's heard more than that one. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. If I should live another day, I pray the Lord to guide my way." There's three verses to that that I know. And yet it's that first verse that we hear so often. I would guess that every person present this morning has prayed that prayer or heard a child in the family pray it. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." Do you sleep well? Sort of wish you wouldn't ask me that question. Sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. I hear people say, "I slept like a log." I think they mean by that I slept all night and don't think I even moved. I hear others say, "I just could not get to sleep last night." Somebody else says, "I went to bed and went right off to sleep, and about 2 hours later I awakened and couldn't go back to sleep." And then I hear a lot of people say, "I slept like a baby." I'm not for sure I want to sleep like a baby. Most babies sleep about 2 hours and cry up and wake up crying. How did you sleep last night? You know, the Bible talks about sleep in many ways. I've been working on this lesson for some time. It's the first time I've preached it as such. But I did a little research on what the Bible has to say. In Psalm 3 at verse 5, "I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me." I laid me down and slept, and the Lord sustained me. God made us such that we need to be able to sleep. Those who study the health of people suggest that even as an adult, if possible, we need to get 8 hours sleep, at least 7 every night. And when they're talking about that, they're talking about sound sleep. "I laid me down and slept, for the Lord sustained me." In the next chapter of Psalms, at chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." That verse alone would allow a good sermon outline if you think about it. I lay down in peace, and God maketh me to dwell in safety. There are two words in that verse that have something to do with the ability to sleep well. Peace. Not only is that including peace in the sense of peace in our country, not at war, but I think it means also peace with those in the family, peace with our friends, and even peace with self. I suspect one of the reasons that we sometimes have difficulty sleeping is that we're not at peace with ourselves. It's a little bit difficult to go to bed and just forget everything, not be concerned about anything. I don't know that there's ever been a day in my life that I didn't have something about which I could be concerned. Having worked as a minister for over 50 years, there was always somebody in the congregation that was sick, or there was a death, or there was a problem, and sometimes even in my own family or with myself. It's not easy. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that it is easy every night to just go to bed and be at complete peace with everybody and with yourself. One man said he and his wife never did go to bed angry at each other. He said, we stay up all night sometimes, but we don't go to bed angry at each other. And I think he had an idea there that is important. If you have a problem with someone, it would be better to talk about it and take care of it to the best of your ability even before you go to sleep. I've tried to make it a practice down through the years. If I know that there is a problem, if I hear that somebody has a problem, misunderstood or was offended by something that I said, I want to call them that day if I can, and if need be, to get with them and try to have an understanding about it. Because it's important for us to go to bed at night with peace of mind and in safety. If we fear for our lives, if we live in a place where we could have somebody break in all the time, and that's getting more dangerous than it's ever been in our lives, sometimes it's hard to go to bed and feel safe. I awakened last night somewhere around 3 o'clock, if I remember, and I heard something. And I got up and looked out the windows, and there was nothing anywhere. I even went downstairs. My bedroom's upstairs. I even went downstairs and walked around and didn't see a thing. I don't know what it was. I think it may have been the house sinking and cracking and creaking. You know, it's amazing when you're by yourself how much that house cracks that you never even heard when there was somebody else there in the house with you. But it's hard for us to really get everything in order to where we can lie down at night and feel, as said here, that we are in safety and that we are at peace. I mentioned that little prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep." There was an incident one night where a mother was watching her son say his prayers before he went to bed. He knelt down by the side of the bed and she was looking in the door without him knowing she was looking, and he said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake," and he stopped. And he said it again, "If I should die before I awake," and he stopped again. He got up and went in the other room and was gone for 2 or 3 minutes, and he came back and knelt back down by the side of his bed and finished his prayer, "If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take," and then he got in bed. His mother went in and said, "Son, I was listening to you and I just wondered why you stopped in the middle of your prayer and got up and went in the other room and then came back and finished your prayer." He said, "Well, I remembered at that point that I had scattered my brother's toys and didn't pick them up. And when I got to that statement, 'If I should die before I wake,' I didn't want his toys to be scattered if I were to die. And so I got up and went and put them in place and came back and finished my prayer." I suspect that that little story is one of the greatest sermons that could be preached. I heard about a doctor who invited a friend to spend the night at his house, and they talked for a long time, and just before they were going to bed, the doctor said, "I need to go over to my desk for just a few minutes." He did, and after he was through, the friend asked him what happened, and the doctor said, "Well, you don't know, but I have a heart problem that is such that I could die at any minute." And he said, "Every night I go to my desk and I make sure that all my financial situations are in order and all my business situations are in order." And he said, "I try to go to bed every night with everything in order because there's a possibility that I will never awake out of this night's sleep. Another man had a practice and a habit that I wish I could do. I can't do this like he did. He called a certain bush out at the front of his house his problem bush. And somebody said, "Why do you call that your problem bush?" And he said, "Well, every night when I come home from work, I stop by that bush and I leave all my problems on that bush before I go in the house. And then the next morning when I come back out, I pick up those problems and I go about my day's business." Don't you wish you could do that? That's a great idea. Somehow or other, I have difficulty depositing all my problems on that bush, because I've got a great imagination. And when I go to bed at night, if I'm not careful, I can be thinking about some of those problems and maybe not able to go to sleep as I should. I think these stories that I've told you put into focus what we're talking about. It's not always easy for us to go to bed and get a good night's sleep and sleep as we should. But let me share with you a few thoughts today that may be helpful. The first one that I want to share with you is something about God in Psalms 121 and verse 4. "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." One of the most comforting thoughts that we can have is that God never goes to sleep. Some of you have been in the armed forces in years gone by, and you remember what it was to have a watch at night or at times when there was danger. You knew that you had to sleep, and so a certain person had the first watch and the second watch, and you were able to go to sleep even in a battle situation because you knew there was somebody out there on watch. And if there was a problem, he would be where he could alert you about it. Well, if you and I could just remember that every night when we go to sleep, that God is awake. You hear people say God is in his heaven and all's right with the world. Half of that statement is true. The other half is not. Everything's not right with the world. But God is in his heaven, and he has the world, as our children sometimes sing, in the hollow of his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. I think our problem is that we haven't learned, and I admit to you that I haven't learned this 100%, I haven't learned 100% to put all my trust in God and to truly believe that he will take care of everything. I teach that and I believe that, but I'm not for sure I've sold myself on it, especially when it comes time to go to sleep. But the Bible says that God never sleeps nor slumbers. And that's a comforting thought that can help us. There's an incident recorded in Luke 8 and Matthew 8 and Mark 4 about Jesus sleeping during the time of a storm. He was out on the sea with his apostles, his disciples, and they were, I don't know, maybe even fishing at night, but Jesus was asleep in the ship and a storm came up. And the storm was a bad one. They thought the ship maybe was going to wreck or capsize. And they went to get Jesus, and when they went, they found him asleep. He was sleeping through the storm. Well, Jesus could sleep because he knew that everything was okay. He knew that everything was under control with his Father, and he had accomplished that, which I said a moment, I'm not for sure I have. He did have complete trust in his Father, and even when there was a storm, he could sleep through it. It's not easy to do that, but we need to learn to do that. My dad could do that much better than I can. Even when there was a serious storm predicted, Dad go to bed and go to sleep. I have a tendency to want to stay awake and see what happens. A farmer one time was trying to hire a young man to work with him on the farm, and he advertised, and this young man applied for the job. And he said, "Well, tell me a little bit about yourself." And among other things, He said, I can sleep while the wind blows. And the farmer didn't fully understand that statement, but he didn't question him any further. He hired him because he needed him to work, and everything went well for several days. And one night, the farmer was awakened in the middle of the night in a very, very serious storm. He had given the back room at his house to the young man to have for his, where he could sleep while he was working for him. And when the storm woke him up, and he looked around and saw what was happening, he looked and he didn't see the young man anywhere. He rushed back there to his room, and there he was, sound asleep. And he thought, now I know what he meant. He can sleep even when there's a storm. And so he got his coat and rushed to the front door and was about to go to the barn, and he looked, and the barn doors were shut. And there were no cattle out in the lot. And he looked at the haystack, and it was covered with a tarp. And he looked at everything that needed to be fastened down for a storm, and it was fastened down. And then he knew what the young man meant. I can sleep while the wind blows. He knew the storm was coming up, and so he put everything in its place and fastened down everything that he needed to, and then he went to bed and went to sleep. That's the way it should be. I'm not suggesting that we've accomplished that, but that's the way it should be. You see, Proverbs 3:24 talks about one's sleep being sweet. And Ecclesiastes 5:12 says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. I think I understand that statement, because I remember times when I was on the farm that by the time we got through working at the end of the day, it wouldn't have made much difference what was happening. If you lay down, you'd go to sleep. You were so tired, you would go to sleep. And that may be one of the reasons that some people have difficulty sleeping today. They don't labor very much. They don't really get tired in that sense. They may be mentally tired, which tends to keep one from sleeping instead of sleeping. But he said, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. We need to realize how these points fit together. But you know, there are also stories in the Bible where people were asleep when they did not need to be. We've been talking so far about needing to sleep and maybe sometimes staying awake when we ought to be able to sleep. But let me share with you some times when people were asleep that they should not have been asleep. Going back to the Old Testament in Judges 4, Sisera went into the house of Heber. He was the enemy of the people. He was fighting against Deborah and Barak at that time. And he went into the house of Heber and went to sleep. And Heber's wife Jael took a tent pin and drove it through his temple and pinned him to the ground and killed him. Here's a man, and it may have been that he was so tired that he couldn't keep from it, but he went to sleep in enemy territory. He went to sleep where he should have realized that the people there were not his friends, but his enemies. And he lost his life while he was asleep. Jonah was asked to go to Nineveh, but he turned and went the other way, got in a ship. When there was the great storm, they found Jonah asleep. You know the rest of the story, that they eventually threw him over and he was swallowed by the great fish. But here was a man who was doing exactly the opposite that God wanted him to do. And yet he could sleep while there was a storm. There are many people today who seemingly as criminals can still go to sleep. With all the evil that they've done and all the evil that is about them, and people who know that they should be obeying God and don't can go to sleep. I said something the other night at the end of a sermon, and I've said this many times in meetings. As we were getting ready for the closing song, I said, I want to leave you with an unusual thought tonight. My prayer is that if you're a faithful Christian, you can go home and go to bed and go to sleep in peace. And my prayer is, if you're not a faithful Christian, that you will be so miserable that you can't go to sleep. Because there are people who will sit and listen to a sermon about being a Christian and know in their heart that they're lost and know they ought to be a Christian and walk right out of that building and go home and go to sleep. I don't see how people can do that. You remember the foolish virgins and the story of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25? While they waited for the bridegroom to come, which in that story was an outstanding event representing the coming of Christ, but in that story an outstanding event, and they were asleep. If you knew that something outstanding was about to happen and you didn't know when they were coming, would you just go to sleep and not even think about it? You remember with the transfiguration that the apostles were asleep and were awakened to see Moses and Elias? Here on an event like that, and maybe by that time the transfiguration had begun, the glory surrounding Christ, but what about the apostles? They were asleep. And you remember when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and had told them what was going to happen to him, what was shortly going to take place, that he came back and found the apostles asleep. While Jesus was praying, to the extent that there were sweat drops as of blood, the apostles could sleep while that was going on. You remember in the story of the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, when the earthquake came at midnight, that he was asleep. Oh, he, I'm sure, thought he had them secure. He had them in chains between guards. But here was a man whose life was at stake for those prisoners, and if they escaped, his life would be taken, and here he is asleep. You might even say asleep on the job. You remember when Paul was preaching at Troas in Acts 20? That there was that man Eutychus that fell out of the window and killed himself. I've had several people in my time that might have fallen out of the window if they had been sitting in a window while I was preaching. Now I know there are times that it's almost impossible to stay awake. I've seen times like that when I went to events, even to church occasionally, when medicine was being taken that caused one to be drowsy or the circumstances were such. I know there are times that it's almost impossible to keep from going to sleep. But there are some people that have that as a habit. When I was preaching as a teenager, I had an older man who sat on the front seat. And every time, without exception, he would come out and say, "I really did enjoy that sermon." And I knew he did. He slept through it all. Never saw him go through a sermon without being asleep. Well, as I said, I know there are times, and some of you may even be taking medication that makes it difficult for you to stay awake, and don't take it negatively in cases like that. But folks, when we come to worship God, we ought to be interested enough in worship, whether it's singing or praying or whatever it is, that we don't go to sleep, unless it is something that's beyond our control. And Proverbs 6, 9 through 10 and 20:11 talks about the lazy man that sleeps. And this is in a setting where he says that the fellow who's lazy and sleeps is not going to have the harvest that he ought to have, and he may even go hungry. And you remember even in the New Testament from a little different angle, Paul said, if a man will not work, neither let him eat. And it seems there are some that are so lazy that they're more interested in sleep than they are in work. So we have instances in the Bible where people went to sleep when they should have been awake, and instances when they were awake when they should have been asleep. And then it's interesting that the Bible refers to death as asleep. It's a figure of speech. But you remember when Lazarus died and they told Jesus about it in John 11, he said, well, he's asleep. Told his apostles that Lazarus was asleep. He knew he was dead, but he called it asleep. In Acts 7, it says about Stephen that he then slept with his fathers, meaning he had died and gone on. And 1 Thessalonians 4, in talking about Jesus' return, it says that those that are asleep in Jesus, he will bring with him. That's the ones that have already died. And in 1 Kings 2:10, it says David slept with his fathers. And that's having reference to the time that he died. And so death itself is referred to as asleep. And that's not by accident. There's a reason for that. You You remember Revelation 14:13, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors, and their works shall follow them. That word rest and that word sleep, when it has to do with death, both mean the same thing. And there is a sense when death comes that we are asleep with the Lord. We even have a song, Denton, Asleep in Jesus. And that is used in that sense. You and I need to be able to conduct our lives and live in such a way that we can be like that young man that I told you about earlier. I can sleep when the wind blows. I doubt that there's any one of us here this morning who has attained that to 100 degrees. But I think it's something that we all ought to have as a goal, and we ought to be able to put these things in focus. In order to be able to sleep well at night, we need to have our lives in order. There may be other factors that we'll have to consider. There may be illness. There may be other things. And some of us will have more difficulty than others, and maybe we'll have more difficulty at one time or another than we do at other times. But all of us need to try to be sure we have our lives in order. When we pillow our heads at night, perhaps the best thing to do is to pray. One lady said, I'm disturbed at myself because sometimes I'll start praying and I go to sleep praying. I said, I don't know of anything else you could be doing that's better. Well, and this is a subject for another time, but you don't have to say amen for a prayer to be successful and right. Go to bed praying. Go to bed thinking about certain scriptures. Sometimes if I have difficulty going to sleep, I'll go back to Genesis and I'll just start through and think, what do I know that's in that chapter or something like that? And usually, if I will think about the scriptures or think about praying to God, it helps me to be able to go to sleep. But the main thing is we need to get our lives right and have the right attitude toward God and toward one another and even toward self. And then having done a reasonable day's work, go to bed at night and believe that we're in the peace that passeth understanding and the safety of God and be able to sleep. Now there may be some things that you can't control, but if there's anything in your life that keeping you from sleeping that you can control, you need to do that today by coming to Christ as together we stand and sing.
I must need go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall near get sight of the gates of life if the way of